Thank you for that beautiful musical message. That was really what I needed to hear this morning. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you so much for having me this morning. It's really a blessing and a pleasure to be here with you and to share this story that I'm actually just now beginning to share, although it started quite a few years ago. So I feel very blessed and privileged to be here this morning and to share this story with you all. Ek Onkar Satnam Sri Wahe Guru. The words echoed in my ears as the priest, dressed in all white with a flowing beard and turban, chanted prayers for me and my father. We had been driving in Fairfax, Virginia, near my hometown, on our way to a UU church, when I saw the beautiful building with the golden roof and the orange flag flying by the side of the road. "Dad," I said, "it's a Sikh temple." I said, "I learned about this in school. Can we stop?" He agreed, and so we did. I had learned just weeks before about Sikhism in a college course on religion in post-9/11 America. I was 18 years old the day I stepped into the Sikh temple, or Gurdwara, as it is known in Punjabi language. The word Gurdwara means door to God. Within a few months of my first visit, I would come to realize how fitting that meaning really was. I grew up UU. I'm not sure if that was in my bio or not. I grew up Unitarian Universalist as an agnostic, strongly leaning toward atheism. My spirituality was deeply rooted in my experiences with youth worship. The midnight worship services at my high school youth conferences often made me cry, which felt meaningful but also a little puzzling. I reacted strongly, negatively, to the Judeo-Christian God concept of many of my non-UU peers and friends. A white man in the sky who watches everything I do and who might damn me to hell if I do something sinful or if I do not attend the right type of church. That did not fit well with my experiences of the world or with growing up in an interfaith family. So I did not believe in God, and I didn't think about God too much. I did know by the time I was 18 that I really enjoyed studying religion, and so in my second semester of college, when I watched this documentary about Sikhism, a 500-year-old religion from North India, I was very fascinated. The film explored the life and death of Balbir Singh Sodhi, a Sikh man who was murdered on September 15, 2001, the first of the 9/11 revenge killings. Balbir Singh Sodhi was shot to death while planting flowers outside his gas station in Mesa, Arizona. I was touched by the way his family reacted to his murder. Rather than withdrawing from their community, they reached out to their neighbors to teach them about their Sikh faith. Sikhs bore a great deal of the brunt of hate crimes after 9/11 due to their unique appearance, the turbans and uncut beards worn by Sikh men. This brought Sikhs a great deal of attention in the heightened and racialized climate after 9/11. So I watched a documentary, found myself interested, did some on-again, off-again research for a few months, and then boom, there I was, the temple gleaming at me from the side of the road, my dad by my side. We went inside and we were greeted by two puzzled and pleased lay priests. Sikhs do not have ordained clergy. They said a prayer for us and then proceeded to cook us lunch. Somehow they were able to communicate, "We insist you stay for a three-course Indian lunch," all the while without knowing a word of English. Of course, we really enjoyed it. And then we left, my dad driving home, me with the beautiful prayers and the unfamiliar sounds of Punjabi ringing in my ears. The experience stuck with me. I couldn't get it out of my head. I came home to Virginia the summer after my first year in college, suffering from a mysterious illness that left me unable to work, going in for tests several times a week. I was still thinking about the Sikh temple, the friendly people, the beautiful sanctuary, the delicious food, and the warm feeling I had when I left. And so I decided to revisit the temple, this time for a worship service. I put on the only Indian clothes that I had, which my mother had brought me from a trip to India several years before to visit our partner church. I drove to the temple, shaking with nervousness and excitement. I knew no one there and had only a vague idea of how to behave, which I had gleaned from online research. So I arrived. I entered the temple, took off my shoes, had some tea in the reception area, and looked around, nervously, unsure of how to proceed into the sanctuary. I felt so lost. I froze. And all of a sudden, I felt a gentle hand on the small of my back. An elderly gentleman with a long beard and turban looked me in the eyes reassuringly, and then proceeded to lead me up the velvet stairs into the worship space. When we entered the sanctuary full of tiny glowing lights and the smells of incense, he led me toward the front, where the Sikh scripture sits on a glimmering throne. He looked into my eyes, pressed a dollar bill into my hand, bowed in front of the scripture, and motioned for me to do the same. I placed the money in the offering box as I had seen him do. He led me to my seat on the floor on the women's side of the sanctuary and softly patted me on the head. Then he disappeared. I settled into the floor, peering at the women on either side of me, realizing that this gentle man had seen my need. All throughout this experience, he had not said a single word. I felt safe and welcomed. I felt at home. And that feeling was so strange. This was not home. I had never been here before. I did not know the language, and I could not pick out a single familiar face from the crowd of hundreds of worshipers. But I heard the chanting and the devotional music, smelled the fragrances of incense and warm food, felt the old man's hand on my head, and saw warm smiles, the beautifully ornamented scripture, and the sanctuary that teemed with light. At the end of the service, I received Kada Prasad, a sweet, warm wheat pudding given to all who worship in a Sikh temple, regardless of their religion. A friend would later explain to me that the Prasad is given to all to remind us that when we enter the house of God, no one leaves empty-handed. And the Prasad is sweet to remind us that all things which come from God are a gift. All things which come from God are a gift. Especially that night at the temple, the beautiful old man, the food and the smiles, and the feeling of being at home. I returned to the temple for services in the weeks to come. And about a month into that summer, one of my best friends died in a car accident on her way home from UU General Assembly. I was shattered and took refuge in church and temple. I was surrounded with love by my family and friends, but the most enduring support was that of the Sikh devotional music, the Gurbani Kirtan, that I had begun listening to that summer. I listened to it day and night, even in my sleep. I also read translations of the hymns, and I was shocked to find a God concept I had never before encountered. Wahe Guru, amazing teacher, Akal Purakh, the timeless one, who is beyond religion, who transcends our human-made concepts of gender, race, country, and creed, a God who loves all of creation and who does not damn anyone to hell for choosing the wrong religion or the wrong political party. This was the God I had always believed in. But nobody had spoken this God aloud to me, not until that moment. And we had so rarely talked about God or a higher power in the mostly atheist church of my childhood. Conveniently, many Sikh temples offer services at times other than Sunday mornings, so I have been able to attend services at both a Unitarian Universalist church and a Sikh temple for the last 6 years. According to Sikh customs, I keep a vegetarian diet, maintain uncut hair, and abstain from using tobacco and alcohol. And I'm in the process of becoming a UU minister. Many people have asked me, why don't you just pick one or the other? Why do both? And truly, this possibility never entered my mind. Because Unitarian Universalism's fourth principle teaches us that we all have the right, and indeed the responsibility, to search for our own personal truth and meaning. Because Universalism, like Sikhism, teaches that we are all loved by our Creator, we are made perfectly, and none are damned or forsaken. Because, as some of you may know, around the year 1550, Ferenc David, founder of Unitarianism, stood on a rock in Hungary and proclaimed, Egy az Isten, God is one. Just as 50 years before, Guru Nanak Dev, founder of Sikhism, said, Ek Onkar, God is one, in the year 1499. Throughout the past 6 years, I have attended Sikh services all over the USA and all over India. I have traveled to India 4 times, lived with 3 Indian families, and made pilgrimages to dozens of Sikh holy places, especially Harimandir Sahib, also called the Golden Temple, Sikhism's holiest shrine located in Amritsar, India, which you can see here on your program. Very beautiful. I have learned to read and write a new language, Punjabi, and it all began with that documentary, The Welcoming Priests, The Gentle Old Man, and the hauntingly beautiful devotional music that has formed the soundtrack of my life for these past 6 years. The first time that American Hindu teacher Bhagavan Das visited India, he entered the country at Amritsar and visited the Golden Temple. Bhagavan Das was the teacher of Ram Das, who wrote the famous countercultural 1970s book, Be Here Now. So when Bhagavan Das first visited India, he entered at Amritsar and spent his first day at the Golden Temple. And these are his words about that first day in India. He said, outside the temple, the people around me clutched flowers in their hands as tears of devotion flowed from their eyes. I had never seen anything like it. The all-pervading devotion was like a golden mist of love we were all breathing in together. I felt as though I was one of them, and we were all one great heart flowing through the streets. We bathed our feet as we entered the temple. Inside, incense wafted into the air as someone waved a yak tail fan before the enormous copy of the Sikh holy book. Bhagavan Das said people were reading from his pages 24 hours a day. And something about this temple was strangely familiar. He said, I kept thinking, I know this place. I could swear I've been here before. This is the place. And he said it would be some time before I would grasp that there is only one temple in the world. It's an internal temple, and we each go there in our own way. What we're actually doing with our devotion is building a golden temple on a higher plane of consciousness so we can enter that inner sanctuary at any time and be in that space with God. The Golden Temple at Amritsar was an elevator, carrying me to the top floor of my own being. Bhagavan Das said, there is only one temple in the world. It's an internal temple, and we each go there in our own way. And so the reason that I am both a Sikh and a UU is this, that I have found that temple in too many places to count. That internal temple is just too big to fit neatly into only one religion. That inner temple belongs to us all. And however we enter that space, that sanctuary, is our own right way. So my prayer today is that each one of us may take one more step toward that inner sanctuary. That temple is home. And in that place of peace and belonging, we know that we are all siblings of destiny. We are all children of God, no matter our religion. All of us are chosen and blessed and loved beyond belief. May we all continue our journeys toward the temples that lie within our own hearts. I'll meet you there. Amen. In that spirit, I invite you to join me in singing hymn number 35, "Unto Thy Temple, Lord, We Come."